perhaps each one of you feels, sound okay? Perhaps you feel that you have earned a degree, a PhD degree no less, in pain. How many would say you had earned your degree? Some of you aren't funny, my goodness. Some of you feel like you've earned too, I do. Briefly, I want to give you just a little history, my history, so that you'll know my qualifications for teaching this class today. I am Janice Reed, and I'm Director of Christian Education from Troy, Michigan. And I'll go back just more than a couple of years. I'll go back to the time I was 20 years old. At that time, that year was a wonderful summer. And some of you are probably thinking back to those times. Everything was peaches and cream and roses without the thorns. And some of you remember that. But that summer, I graduated from college. I was 20 years old. I married and began teaching in the high school where I graduated from high school. And everything looked real great. And I went up along until I was about 25 years old, and all of a sudden, I had a son who had just been born in April, and in July, my husband became very ill. He was a second lieutenant in the National Guard, and he had gone to camp for 2 weeks. And while he was there, he became very ill. Here I am with a three-month-old son. I'm ready to start back teaching school. I have a husband who is ill. And we went along for a few weeks. They thought he had the flu, but he was still sick. December came, and my doctor, who was a personal friend, came over to our home. You don't see that too much anymore. And he said, "I have done all that I know to do, and I think you should go to Memphis." At that time, I lived in a small town. In fact, I'll just tell you the name of it. Crump, Tennessee. No one has ever heard except her. She lived just a few miles down the road, and we only met yesterday. But Crump, Tennessee was a town of less than 200 people, and we lived about 100 miles from Memphis. And at that time, I don't think we even had a hospital. We still don't in Crump, but I mean, you know, the neighboring town, Savannah, does have a hospital in Selmer, close to where she lives. Even her town doesn't even have a hospital. And, you know, there are still places like that in the United States. And so January came, and we went 100 miles to Memphis to the big hospital, the Baptist Hospital. And my husband walked into the hospital. He was very ill. I left my son, who was 8.5 months old at that time, and home with my mom. And the doctor diagnosed him with an enlarged brain. And so they decided to do surgery. And they did surgery. And a few days went by, and he was still very sick, very high fever. And all of a sudden, then I faced how ancient this was. They really didn't even have the name, or they weren't even using the name for chemotherapy. But the doctor said to me, he called me in, and he said, "I really feel your husband has cancer. We cannot find it. Here I am. I'm 25 years old. My husband is 26. And I have an 8.5-month-old son. 9 months for this time. And he said, "I believe your husband has cancer, but we cannot find it. I'm going to give him mustard gas, which is very poisonous. Those of you, you men might know more about that than the women, which is kind of a form of chemotherapy." So he came in, but you know what? Here is this doctor. I'm 25 years old, very naive. He comes in, but they take out the stitches that day, and they gave him mustard gas. What is that going to do to you? I mean, you know, if you had a brain in your head, but then I have total trust in this doctor. About 8 o'clock that night, my husband began to be very ill. And I was looking at his side, and all of a sudden I see this blood seeping through the bandage. Here I am in Memphis, 100 miles from home, by myself. And man, I hate saying this, but I said to him, I called a nurse. He said, no. Well, sometimes men are a little stubborn like that. Of course, none of you men here today. I see some heads nodding, you know. It's a nice progress. He was bleeding more, and I called the nurse, and it was probably 30 minutes or an hour later, and I said, something has to be done. By 2 o'clock, and I don't know if you've ever had nerves like this, all of a sudden I was just shaking like this. I was there by myself. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. My husband is almost in a coma. Ice is flying. His fever's 104. They're not sure. They're going to take him back into the surgery because he has broken all the way open. They took him back into surgery, and they wired him together. He never got up. February the 15th, he began to talk very serious to me, but I didn't really want to hear it. You know what? So many times, we don't want to know what's going to happen. The next morning, I got up, and he was in a coma. And I called the family, and I said, I think you need to get here. I still could not face, I had never yet faced that he was not going to make it. The doctor came, and he said, I think we need to do an autopsy because we still don't know what the matter is. And that afternoon, February 16th, he passed away. Here I am. At that time, I had just turned 26, and he was 27, and I had a 10-month-old son. That was the beginning. First, I grieved, but then I was angry. I'm alone. My husband has been taken. And if a lot of times what happens, we go into a second marriage because we're lonely. And we go into a second marriage too soon. And that is what happened to me. I went into this preacher came by, this evangelist came by, was very wonderful. I was very much in love. Right before the marriage, I thought to myself, something is not quite right here. But so many times we say, oh, it's just a bad moment. This just couldn't be happening. So I went into a second marriage. And very shortly thereafter, I really felt in my spirit that I had made a serious mistake. But I went 24 and a half years before I filed for divorce. The first 17 years, I was in denial. As long as you're in denial, you have hope. This really isn't happening to me. This just can't be true. None of you have ever been there, I can see. We just say this to ourselves. This really can't be happening. 7 years before I filed for divorce, of course, we were pastoring. We were pastoring in Troy, Michigan, which is where I still am. It is just now that finally everybody's recovering. I filed for divorce 6 years ago in June. And here we are pastoring a church. My son at that time, he was associate pastor of the church. I'm thinking about the church. I knew for sure that I was living what I knew was for sure. And yet I still felt like I could not talk. You see, I had to have a release from God. You just can't get out and do something unless God releases you. Twice God spoke to me. I went to the prayer room and I said, God, I just can't go any further. And that night, the minister spoke and said, one of them was Brother Morton Bustard, and one was Brother Marvin Walker, a lot of you from Cincinnati. Know him. Two different times over a period of a couple of years. Spoke and said, the time is not yet. They didn't know they were speaking to me, but they didn't even know there was a problem unless they sensed it in the Holy Ghost. And 7 years, I knew. And when you know for sure, the problem is you lose hope. As long as you're in denial, there's hope. But once you really face the truth and you really face reality, you realize that unless God performs a miracle, it's going to all come crashing down around your head sooner or later. And every one of you in here has had this experience. Maybe you didn't wait 25 years. I would just say, be careful when you go into a relationship again. I filed for divorce in June, and in September of that year, 4 months later, I went to counseling in California, Dr. Clyde Miramore. I don't know if you have heard of him, perhaps you've read some of his books, but I went there for counseling, and a couple of things that he said to me helped me so much. One thing he said was, if you're not careful, you will select exactly the same kind of person to marry as you divorced. Would you believe that the first two people who came into my life were exactly the same kind of person? I was so scared. It's been 6 years now. It's like I'm standing over in the corner, like shaking, you know. But another thing that I found out at Dr. Miramore was this. I took a test. And in this test, my anger level was totally off the charts. I mean, it didn't even register. You know, my son, when he was 2 years old, when I had taken him to the doctor, he never registered on the chart as far as height or weight. You know, he's now 6'4 and a half. And he wouldn't want me to tell you how much he weighed. He's Mark Green from Troy, Michigan. I don't know. A lot of you might know him because he's done a lot of big engagements around the country. But here, you know, I found out my anger level is totally off the chart. Would any of you say that you probably could? And by the way, I do have a fractured arm if you're wondering about this. I had prayed before I came here, just time out here. I said, God, I don't want to go there with a cast on my arm. 4 days I was in a cast, I went to the doctor, and he said, you don't have to wear the cast. I've never heard of this. I was playing it almost well, so that's why I have it playing off. All right, not only, and how many of you think you might have been off the chart with anger, might still be off the chart with anger, but along with it goes the suspicion level. He said, and also your suspicion level is totally off the chart, too. I mean, you know, you don't trust anybody, not even your mother, hardly. And that brings us, so I think you can see where I am. Anger has been in my life. And when I left Nairmore, I thought, somehow, I've got to get rid of this. And so I began to I went to a peacemaker seminar for 2 days. Our church does a class on Monday night for personal development. And so they said, well, how about you and this other lady teaching this anger workbook? So now I have taught 3 classes of the anger workbook, which is about 10 or 12 lessons. And the first time we taught that, my friend looked at me and she said, what if 100 angry people show up with ball bats tonight? And I thought, oh, that is possible. And I believe you can say, we're starting at the top of the first page, and there was a day. And each one of you could stand up and tell your story. I prayed that God would give me wisdom because I did not want to say anything today I should not say. I hope I have said enough that you understand where I'm coming from. I have left a lot unsaid. You know, we could talk for 5 weeks, 24 hours a day, and I would never tell you all of it. You have experienced divorce, and you have experienced anger. You know, if you have experienced divorce and you weren't angry, you know, there's something wrong with you. We really should have you committed somewhere, you know. Or maybe we need to touch you or shake your hand or routing or your halo has shifted around or something. Chart. You might want to look at this chart, levels of stress. And I do beg to differ with you. These two doctors on one issue. You see, I have done both of these. I have experienced number one and two. My first husband died, and my second one I divorced. But I would reverse these if it were me, because death is final. You know, it has been 31 years, and I still have an ache in my heart at that time of year, or different times when I look at people who are happy. But divorce, I hate to tell you, but I don't believe it's ever final. I don't know how many of you have found that it's final. I mean, you know, I'm 6 years into it, and it is still not final. Every day I think, God, is it going to be final today? I was in court 34 months, and I'm, again, just a little bit ahead of myself, so I may repeat this again in a couple minutes. But I reached in my mailbox, and here were the final divorce papers. Oh! And do you know what was behind the divorce papers in the mailbox? An audit from the IRS. For 2 years, I was in an audit from the IRS. But when it was over with, and I was so angry when I left there, I almost had a wreck when I left the post office, because I was so upset. But before the 2 years were up, I had turned it over to God, and what happened at the end of the 2 years, they gave me a lot of money. I didn't have to give them a lot of money. That's the way God works. But that 2 year period, I could have died. The 34 months in court, I could have died with the anger, the anticipation, or whatever. And then it goes on to tell you other things. You know what? I never saw a listing of kids on here at all. And tomorrow I'm supposed to talk about single parenting. You know, that would probably, in my opinion, be number 30. But anyway. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. And I claim that. I went through such fear the first few months. My house, you know, you think when the divorce is over, everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, I'll tell you, at night, it was awful. I felt there were spirits in my house, and I hesitate to say some of these things, but they're not even in my notes. And Brother Billy Cole, I kept feeling like, if Brother Billy Cole could just come here, this is going to be done and over with. And he was scheduled to come, and he became ill. He couldn't come. And I went 6 more months, and I'm thinking, if Brother Billy Cole can come here, this is going to be out of my house. And when he came in, and he lifted his hands, and he blessed the house, and he said, told me that night, he said, I came to your house 17 years ago, and I knew there were spirits in your house, but I never said anything. And when he walked in that night, he lifted his hands and began to pray. And he called me over after dinner, and he said, you will never be troubled with these again. Thank God that God hears us and he cares for us. The spirit of fear can grip you when you're alone. The spirit of fear can grip you when you don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how you're going to make a living. You don't know. You don't have any answers. How am I going to take care of the children? What is going to happen to me? But you know what? That verse says in Psalm 51:8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know what? I want us to take just a minute here before we go on. Lord, I feel like the bones have been broken, but you know what? I am standing before you today to tell you I feel like my bones have been restored. You know what? If you still feel like coming out of divorce, that your bones are broken, that there is grief, there's sadness, there's anger, today I just want us to raise our hands and say, Lord, before this session is over, I want deliverance. Do you want deliverance? Do you want to be free? Let's just raise our hands. Lord, we believe you right now, oh God. move and touch each person, oh God. Lord, we ask you for deliverance. We ask you to move in each person, oh God. We are believing you. Hallelujah. Blessed is your name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go back and quote that scripture, Psalm 51:8, at times and say, the bones which I have broken, oh God, I come before you, Lord. Let these bones rejoice in you, because that's where you're going to find your victory, is when those broken bones begin to repair and you begin to rejoice and praise the Lord. Let go of yesterday. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is what we want to do. We want to let go of what has happened. You know what? Can you change one thing about yesterday? No, you can't. So, why worry about yesterday? Can you change anything about tomorrow other than the fact of what you're doing right now? So let's don't worry about tomorrow. Let's think about right this minute. God, make me, let me be where I should be right this minute. Choose to manage your anger with God's help. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. All. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So if you believe the word, if you believe the word, claim that scripture. Lord, you said nothing is going to hurt me. He said, I am going to give you power, and nothing is going to hurt you. Luke 10:19, I have quoted that scripture probably for 10 years. Give up trying to control other people. As people who are in divorce relationships, a codependent, how many of you are familiar with the word codependent? Okay, a codependent, and probably all of you are one, is a person who lives with someone else who affects your behavior. And you know what? What ends up happening when you are in a situation, you can end up almost as sick as the person that you are living with in a different kind of way. How does it affect you? I started arthritis at age 31. You can have stomach trouble. I think I had everything in the book. My blood pressure was elevating from the time I was 26 until 6 years ago, and it has been normal for almost 6 years. You can have spastic colon. You see, some way you have to let go of these things, or it will make you as ill in a different kind of way as the person that you were married to. Forgive, and this is the hardest thing. Forgive, forget, and bless. You know what? I have prayed for my ex-husband and actually gritted at my teeth. Oh, God, bless him. Oh, God, I forgive him. Oh, God, I will reach him for what he's done to me. And none of you ever felt that way. I could just tell. I heard Brother Helmuth from our district say one time, he had a bad situation. His daughter and son-in-law got divorced, and so he was angry. He should have been in the divorce, and then he really would have been angry. He said, every time he said, I was roofing a building, and every time I hit the nail, I would say, oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And you know what? You have to be able to release that anger. You have to be able to forgive, release, and bless. Let's go into the steps of, if you don't get rid of your anger and conflict, it will become bitterness. And I have been bitter once in my life, maybe twice, and I promise God if he'd help me, I'd never be there again, because what happens with bitterness is the fact that you don't get rid of it overnight. It has a root. Have you ever been out this summer probably working in your yard and you get a hold of this nasty weed and it's got a root that goes to China? And that's the way bitterness is. It will have a root in your heart that will be there, and you'll pull up the top part of it, and the root of it is still there. Anger, boiling, wrathful, Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Psalm 37:8. Be angry and sin not. And, you know, that's the thing we have to learn is you can be angry, but you can't sin with it. Struggle, battle, discord, variance. And the Bible even talks about the seventh thing. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. He that soweth discord among brethren. Proverbs 6:16-19. The Lord hates someone who causes discord. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we are so upset and so angry, we go, and we can sow discord. We think we're right, and you may be. But you know what? You have to get to the point where you're past that. Bitterness, rotten, hostile, nasty. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look it diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. How many of you have ever had a sore under the skin? Nobody? Well, you know what I'm talking about, didn't you? When you have a sore, all of you have a fall sometime or other. You know how painful that can be. I mean, it's a little tiny thing, but it can just come right up. By the way, these are stitches. I had stitches when I fell and broke my arm. I broke my arm about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And what happened, when I came to myself, my chin was bouncing on the concrete. So it was a really bad, and I lost my train of thought. Getting back to the issue, looking at the top of the next page, on the different faces that anger has, before we go into this, let me finish saying about the temple of the bomb. When you have a sore and you don't do anything about it, it has a lot of bad things in it. The only way that you can get that to heal is how? Open it up. Get rid of what is in there. And this is very crude. I'm sorry, but you will remember this illustration. And then it begins to heal. The same way is with a divorce or bitterness. You must let God open you up. And you must open yourself up. You must be willing to open yourself up and say, here is all this junk in me because of this divorce. God, I want you to take it out, and I want you to heal me. Because until you have this out of your heart, you will not heal. And some of you, one of the things I so admired, I couldn't even go to single things, and I didn't feel single, and I didn't feel married. I only have been going to single conferences. I went to Brother the one in San Antonio, where the chances about a year and a half ago. And I admire some of you because some of you, man, you have just gotten out it, and it seems like you've recovered instantly. I'm still trying to recover, and I'm in my sixth year. But let God do the work. Let's look at the second page. We're going to have to move right along here. Anger. Anger has many faces. Now, you think about yourself here. You might pout. You might be openly verbal, scream and holler. You know, I threw one china plate one time 20, 30 years ago. I had to clean it up, so I didn't throw any more plates. Of course, none of you never done anything like that, I'm sure. Critical, negative. These are faces of anger. Each one of us have different ways. Some of you seed inside that you don't tell anybody what you're going. My grandson, who's 13 months, goes like this. I mean, he's 13 months old and he knows what anger is already. All anger and conflict is not bad, because what can happen with anger and conflict, it can bring change in you. Do you want to be different? Do you want to change? You can grow in God. I tell you, if I had not gone through the things I've gone through, I would not be in God where I am today. Because what happens? You begin to fast, you begin to pray, and God begins to work on you. And he brings you to this place where I had always looked at other people and thought, Well, God has a plan for them. But I'm just not sure he has a plan for me. I mean, I'm thinking, oh, you say that, is it worth, you know. But do you really have a plan for me? And it's only been in this year that I have really felt that there has been a plan for me. Sister Kerr has sent us these scriptures, Exodus 23, 20 and 22. It was Sunday, or August the 25th. And it talks about, I will send an angel to be with you. And it says, but indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak. And that's the secret. You see, we want to do our thing, and then we want God to answer. But we have to obey for God to answer. If we want an answer from God, I just observed somebody here the other day that's going through a hard time, and they're really normally a really great worshiper, but they were bent out of shape when they came to church. And I knew it, and everybody around them knew it, because there was no worship. We must do what God expects us to do, and what he says to do. We must obey his voice. And who does God come to? He comes to you if you are of an humble and contrite spirit. What is not acceptable in anger? If I picked up, would you help me one more time? Would you pick up that chair there? If you carry that chair around with you all day today, I would say it would really be a hindrance. And people probably would be looking at you and saying, what is the matter with him? Thank you. But you know what? That is exactly how anger is. Anger is just as tiring as that chair. And you know what? Everybody around you is looking at you saying, what is the matter with him or her? It's just as visible when we have anger as it is when we pick that chair up and carry it around. What is not acceptable? Pout and sulk. Become critical. Say ugly, negative things. Well, he said ugly, negative things about me, or she said ugly, negative things about me. Do we want to be just like they are? By the way, I think this is one of the best I've ever heard. One of my teachers, I'm in charge of the Sunday school, and one of the teachers said to me, because I taught this class at home, not exactly like this, but I taught on anger. She said, we file it away in our computer, negative thoughts, and drag them up again and again and again. And that's what happens. We put all these things in our computer, and then we bring them up. In fact, that's probably what happened when you got your divorce, because of what happened. You kept dragging things up, and he kept dragging things up, and dragging things up. You went back to your computer. Well, now, in 1929, you did this. In 1940, you did this. And we drag things up. Forget the past. You can't do anything about it. And if you're going to forgive, let's put it away. I will say this about forgiveness. I had always thought forgiveness was, I forgive you and I open my arms to you and just take you back. There, to be restored, there have to be changes. And there has to be forgiveness on both parts and confession on both parts. I was really in the wrong impression about what forgiveness was. Seated inside and in constant turmoil, and I will say this to you, if you are in constant turmoil, God is trying to speak to you. He's trying to tell you something, and the sooner you listen. My sister and I used to say, because she also has gone through a divorce, and we used to get together and say, you know, we must really be hard to hear what God's saying. You know? What is acceptable in anger? Anger is energy. You know, when you're angry, man, you could lift the whole Hyatt hotel up with one hand and have a hand left over. Be responsible for our anger. And this anger can be channeled in other directions. Channel it into constructive things, such as going out and witnessing, praying. And I used to play the piano. Man, I go to that piano, and the one of that piano is still standing. Man, I go, wow, wow, wow. And before it was over, then I was playing calmly and whatever. I also paint. Man, you go to that canvas and go, wham, wham, wham. Well, before you know it, you have to change canvases and go to a different canvas. But how you handle future anger, if you have been angry in the past, you're going to be angry in the future unless you learn how to handle your future anger. Change and growth. Handle it as adults. Not children. A lot of times we look at children and are very critical. But one thing about children, they're angry and they put it away. And let's look at this change in growth, and then I'm going to have you stand. I've got something else for you to look at. Focus on good things. A lot of times, all the failures are etched in bronze. You can see them, see them, see them. And the successes are etched in water. And what happens with water? It just shifts and you can't see it anymore. Look at that dot right there on that page. What do you see? Do you see that dot? Or do you see the whole page? You know what? As angry people, a lot of times we look at the dot. You know, I tell my teachers this sometimes. I am choleric. You're familiar with the temperament. I'm choleric, melancholy, perceiver. I said, it is amazing. I have survived. But when you look at your temperament, it helps you be able to see the whole. Look at both sides of the issue, not just yours. It is so easy to say, I am right. As a choleric person, then I can say, I am right, I am right, I am right. But you know what? I have got to look at the other side of the issue and say, well, there's some merit here. And especially, folks, if you have children, you must try to come to some kind of terms if you are having to deal with, or any of you having to deal with young children. Okay? You must, for the sake of your children, because it will do great damage to your children if you cannot come to some kind of terms and agreement where you can at least be civil. Look at it objectively. And that's hard to do. Maybe you need to say, could you look at this and tell me what you see? And a lot of times we don't like it. No, I don't want to hear it. But you know what? Someone else sometimes can look at it objectively. And occasionally I'll say, tell me what you see. I always like what they see in me. But you know what? You don't always see what's in you. Accept your part of the blame. I didn't do a thing. Everybody did something. In all probability, one party was a whole lot more to blame than the other. But every person sitting in here did have some part of the blame. And when you really accept that and realize where you can say, I'm sorry for the things I did, and go on, you want to go into a different life. You don't want your next life, your next marriage, to be what you went through before. All anger expressions, good or bad, this is one of the most important things I'll say to you today. All anger expressions, good or bad, are the result of choices. You say, oh, I was a red-headed Irish person. Looks like my grandfather's going to be red-headed. And his anger level is right with it. But you know what? No. It is a choice. You decide how angry you're going to be. And you, maybe you put your fist right through, this would be more prone for men, put the fist right through the wall. However, I have seen one woman put her fist right through the wall. She was so angry. But you are responsible for your anger and for your choices. Don't rationalize your anger. Assume full responsibility for what you have done and your anger. Okay, stand for just a minute, then we're going to go on to the second part of this. I just thought about this point, you would need a break. I mean, you said about all that you can stand. Your exterior, whatever. I thought this was so cute. Let's say this is definitely not a Pentecostal lady. You know what, maybe if you want to, you just hurry those along. Just pass them, and whatever is extra, you just pass back or whatever. This lady is at the grocery store. She said, listen, pal, I work two jobs. I got the shaft in a divorce. My car is making a weird noise. My kid dyed his mohawk pink, and my dog had a litter in my living room. So don't tell me I have one item too many, unless you have a death wish. And I think each one of you probably can relate here. You may be seated. I just thought, well, it's getting a little hot and heavy. You've had about all this anger that you can handle. I think that's about it. I thought I had quite enough. Everybody get one? I thought this would give us a little break. You know, it's not an easy thing when you face the fact that you're an angry person. Most of the times we're in denial about it. Let's look at ways to manage your anger. James 1:19 says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. What he's saying to you is, listen a whole lot more than you speak, and be very, very slow to getting angry. 5 ways to manage your anger. Number 1, you suppress it. I'm not angry. How many of you have ever seen somebody angry and they said, I'm not angry? This is more women probably than men. Okay, the second one is more men probably than women, but not necessarily. Open aggression. Scream, yell, or verbal, kick the lawnmower, kick the cat. Well, I see a lot of you are relating to these anger ways of managing your anger. Passive aggression. Now, this one is a dangerous one because it is the same as open aggression. You're just as angry and you're just as mad, but you are smiling all the time. And so what you're going to do is you're going to get even. And you're going to smile every step of the way. Well, needless to say, the above three are not the ways to handle your anger. The last two are. Number 4. Assertive anger means that something has happened you feel you just have to take care of with somebody. But you know what? If you really want to get rid of your anger, I would have very few things that I had to take care of. I personally have had enough conflict to last me through the millennium. You know? Assertive anger means that you have respect. We're angry at each other. But we have respect for each other, and we're able to talk about this in a civilized manner. That is really the proper way to handle anger. And you say, well, you just didn't know my circumstances. Oh, you better believe I did. I did things I had to repent over many times. And I'm sure you did too. And number 5 is dropping anger. They offended you, but you know what? So what? Unless it is of dire importance, I would just drop it. Don't put it in your computer to be drug up next week. Don't put it in your computer to be drug up next year. Accept your inability to completely control circumstances or others. As codependent, you want to control everybody around you. Oh, this is a horrible thing for me to realize. Oh, I'm trying to help you. No, I wasn't. I was trying to control everybody. What happens as a codependent, you try to change your husband, you try to control him, you try to make him into what he should be or what you want him to be. And that's what codependency is. You try to control other people. You want them to think just like you want them to think. I've gotten where I just backed off. A friend of mine said, well, don't back off too far. I said, you know what? I really enjoy my own company. Recognize your personal limits. Conflict. And I got to hurry. I'm going to get through. Constant conflict means God is trying to speak to you, and I mentioned this to you before. Responding to conflict, playing the blame game. Someone else is responsible. Make excuses for doing something wrong. Deny that any of it is your fault. Cover up the mistakes you've made. Lie to yourself. Ooh, I am just, those angel wings are sprouting on me. Accept responsibility and resolve conflict. Admit your fault in a conflict. And that's hard to do. My mother says, I don't really know this, they've been married nigh unto 1,000 years. My mother is 80 and daddy is 83, and mother was 16 and daddy was 19. She said, he said, I'm sorry, either once or twice in all that time. None of you can understand that, though. Ask forgiveness. If you do not forgive, God will not forgive you. What happened, there was a lady in our church, and she and her husband were going through a very difficult time, and I just really felt that she had done some things that were not proper or right. And it happened a lot, several years ago, and I thought I had discarded it. In the meantime, she had gone through a divorce and married another man, and they became ministers, and they moved out west, and then they came back and are ministers there in the district. And 2 summers ago at our ladies' conference in Michigan, I saw her walking toward me. And I knew, because God spoke to me and said, she's going to ask your forgiveness, and if you don't forgive her, I'm not going to forgive you. I thought I'd forgiven her. She walked up to me and she said, Sister Marie, I'm really sorry for what I've done. We hugged each other and I told her what God had said to me. I had to forgive her if God was going to forgive me. You see, God forgives us on the terms of how we forgive other people. Accept the consequences. Brother Mitchell was so good this morning. Alter your future direction by changing your patterns of dealing with conflict. As I said, watch what you're doing. My son was talking about this Wednesday in Bible study. In Ecclesiastes, it says, keep your foot. Now, can you imagine if it all came in with a foot? But by Ecclesiastes, it says, keep your foot when you go to the house of God. What does that mean? In other words, watch what you're doing. You know, if we would keep our foot, if we all carried a foot around with us, again, everybody would be looking at us like they would be looking at him carrying that chair. If we had this foot and we're dragging it around, people think, what are you doing? Well, Paul says, watch my foot when I go to the house of God. But what he's saying is, watch what you're doing. Ways to handle anger and conflict. The mutual benefit area. And this is more for future with other people, because when you're angry in a marital situation, it spills over into other areas. Because what happened, God kept just coming to me with situations, even after I was out of my divorce, areas of conflict. And I'm thinking, God, hurry up and show me whatever it is you want me to learn. Mutual benefit area. Find areas where each party can benefit and give in. 2, it's why versus whose fault. Not who is right, it's what is right in the issue. Not, you're wrong. Look at the issue, not the person. Avoid win-lose situations, because nobody wins in a win-lose situation. Everybody loses. And if you have children, especially the children. Change some procedures to avoid future anger and conflict. I have a friend that people who have sugar, my son has sugar, a friend of mine has sugar. Sometimes if you have sugar, your personality swings. Well, I always try to stay out of the way when that personality swings. If you know you can avoid something, avoid it. Focus on one issue at a time. Get your emotions under control, even if it means asking for time out. When you are angry and you say things, you can never, never, never take them back. They will always be on record. Top of the last page, we're coming into the final stretch here, and some of you are having a real struggle You had a late night last night, I assume. Bitterness. When you have anger and conflict, you feel you've been done wrong, you have unresolved anger, you have unresolved conflict, it becomes bitterness. And as I told you before, bitterness is something that you cannot just snap your fingers and be done with it. I was bitter at a person, and it was over a very stupid thing. The devil will put these things in your path. I didn't realize it was a stupid thing until it was all over with. It took me 2 years of prayer, fasting, being an altar to get that root of bitterness out of my heart. And I would go out there and think it was done. I'd stand up, and who would be standing behind me would be that person. And it would all come rushing back. And I told the Lord, "Lord, if you will help me, I will never find myself in that position again." Because when you have a real root of bitterness, it does not dissolve overnight unless God instantly. I think the reason God doesn't do it overnight or instantly is because we get ourselves in that position, and we don't get ourselves in that position overnight. And when God gives us a little time to cool our heels, we're not too anxious to get back in that position, are we? Deal with anger and conflict as it comes along, and you won't have this bitterness to have to deal with. Every day, you have a choice. When you get up in the morning, you have a choice. And I have a story. The last thing we're going to talk about here is freedom. This was one of the plagues. You know, I suppose Moses felt like it was never going to be over. You know, there was one plague, and you turn right around, and there was another plague, and you turn right around, and there was another plague. A man in our church works for Kmart, and he is wonderful. I think you will agree. I love this. I have several. I have one in the room. I ever brought more, but I just couldn't carry them. One with a fly on his nose. Some different things, but I thought this was really cute with the frogs. You know what? There are times when you probably feel like, "Lord, have you forgotten me? Is there going to be an end?" And I want to tell you this little story. I searched for happiness for 31 years. My son kept saying, "Mother, go back and finish your master's degree. Mother, you can't. Do this, do that." My happiness, I felt, hinged on my husband. And I was miserable, and I made everybody around me miserable at times. And I thought when I got divorced, I was going to be happy. But I found that my happiness was not with my husband. My unhappiness was inside. And I continue to search for that peace and happiness. And this year, back in the winter, I was teaching a Bible study to a lady who's in her 60s. And it was one of the first lessons, and she began to weep and cry. And she began to tell me her life about how unhappy she was. She wasn't married, never been married. About what her family had done to her. About what they were doing to her on her job. And as I sat and looked at her, a light clicked on in my brain, 31 years. Your happiness does not lie with other people. Your happiness will be inside of you and what you allow God to do. After she will never know this, because I don't think she'll ever hear this tape. But after she got up and left, I made up my mind I would never be the same person again. Every day I have a choice of whether I'm going to be happy or whether I am going to be unhappy. I have a choice of whether I'm going to be angry or whether I am going to be happy. And you can have freedom. You can leave here this day, and I hope, if nothing else happens, I hope today a light has clicked on with you. I want to be able to help you. If you need to talk individually or anything, I am very willing to be, because I feel like All the things I've gone through are for a reason. They are for somebody. And I want to be able to help someone else. Can you change or control one thing about your former spouse? No. Ground yourself in truth. Ground yourself in the Word. Be in total alignment with God. When the spaceship gets ready to go into outer space, it has to be in exact alignment. And if it is not in exact alignment, it will burn up or it will disintegrate. It has to be totally in alignment to go into outer space. I am telling you today that you have to be in total alignment with God if you really want to be free from this anger, bitterness, and conflict in your life. If you want your past to be changed and tomorrow you want to get up and say, I am going to have a different life. You know what? Someone said to me the other day, nobody really wants to be around you. I'm not talking about me at the time, but thankfully, God has brought me out. But when you gripe and complain, even to your friends, they get tired of it. And you say, oh, they don't have any understanding. Well, they've understood with me for 30 years. You know, how long do they have to have understanding with you? Be accountable. If you find you still have trouble with anger, find someone, a friend, a parent, the pastor. He probably has a lot to do, so don't have him. But find somebody that can help you, that you can be accountable to as far as your anger goes, so that you can grow and you can manage your anger. You're not going to snap your fingers and your anger is going to disappear. I wish I could say that. Will my quality of life be greater if I choose to hold on to my anger rather than releasing it? I think this is a very important question today. Is your life going to be better if you hang on to this anger? Or is your life going to be better if you release this anger? Some people are happy to be mad. Let's decide with God's help that when we walk out of here today, I mean, I want to see you guys worshiping. I want to see you running the aisle. I want to see you dancing and rejoicing and a smile on your face. Some of you today have been like my grandson. Let's walk out of here changed people by the grace of God. Forget those things that are behind. Let's reach. God's coming back in just a day or two. Don't you think He is? Let's stand. And I want to, right now, I want you. Is there someone especially today in here that you feel like you really need a touch from God? Is there someone that you feel, and don't be embarrassed, because I have been there before. Is there anyone who feels like, I just really have to have a touch? I want you today, how many of you will do your best to try to walk out of here in freedom today? When you walk out of here, fly that flag of freedom. Oh, hallelujah. How is that freedom going to come? With praise and worship and victory. You know what? You're going to get it with your arms. But it's got to be, oh, a drowning man screams for help. A lot of times, it's angry people. We are drowning people. Let's scream for help. God, deliver me. Give me freedom. Let me walk in truth. Let me walk with you. Let's pray today. Let's just really reach out to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, God, I worship you. I praise you.